You are now entering the Black Zone.
Your hosts are the intrepid and all-knowing Jason T. Gaffney and the insipid and unknowing Kevin Held. Join these two buddies as they explore history and find the bright side in shitty things.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the Bright Side with Kevin and Jason. I'm your co-host, Kevin Held.
And I'm your other co-host, Jason D. Gaffney.
And we're coming at you again with some tragedy in the world. I love it.
Yeah, we're gonna tragic all over your face.
I live in tragedy now. It's wonderful. I just love, like, learning about all this crazy shit you bring to me.
Yeah, it's, today's one is tragic, but more like weird.
Okay, I like it's weird.
Kind of a weird tragic.
I very much enjoy weird.
Twagic.
It's twagic. No, that was twagic. Oh my goodness. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I went to Disneyland again.
Hello,
yesterday.
Disney.
That's right. I feel so over-vacated.
Yeah.
Like, over-vacationed. Like, I went to Disney World. I've been to Disneyland a couple times. We went to Palm Springs together.
But that's good.
It's great. I'm a man of leisure.
It's healthy for people to take time off.
Right. I just don't feel like an American, I guess.
Well, I haven't felt like that since 2016, so.
I feel like I'm an American, but where'd my country go?
Yeah.
Speaking of tragedy.
Yeah.
But how you doing?
Good, yeah. No, we've got a couple festivals coming up. My mom is coming in town next week.
Exciting. We
I'm
always
so
love to see Suzanne.
And get to see her, get to do some writing, some prep work for some future film scripts.
Right, and you're going off and doing like a writer's retreat together, right?
Yep, just the two of us.
I love that.
Well, Matt will be there, but he's going to do his work in his bedroom.
All my mom and I do is play dominoes when we're together.
That's fucking awesome.
It's the best thing ever, but we don't really have anything to show for it afterward.
She's, my mom's actually shipping me a game that I'm hoping that you and Nick can come over and we can all play the game.
You know us. We're down for that.
Five-person game night.
Yeah, I like it.
Look out, world.
Who's the fifth wheel, I wonder?
My mom.
Good. Well, no, maybe, I don't know, maybe she and Nick are going to really hit it off and then I'll be left there not, like, wondering who likes me.
What? Okay.
That's, obviously, that's what I'm scared of.
Do you assume that Matt and I don't like you?
Yeah, no.
My mom's going to leave my dad for your gay husband.
Yeah, no.
And he's going to leave you for my mom.
All right, so now you understand my fear. I'm just saying it out loud so it has less power.
Okay, well, I have lovely potted plants that you can marry.
That's the slippery slope we're on, I guess.
Well.
Okay, so it's a good week and a lot of fun stuff coming up. These.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look
Palm
out.
Springs and Chicago on the way, on the horizon. Love
on the horizon. It's like, hey.
Was that Chicago on the horizon?
That was Palm Springs. Chicago on the horizon is like, hey. Because it's a little further away.
Oh, it was quieter.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. That was gold. Shall we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Fantastic. this week, as every week, we're going to talk about some tragedy that has befallen the human race. Is it the human race? I don't know. You've been very cryptic about what's going on this week.
I like to, for those of you out there, it's hard for me to get a topic together and to not tell Kevin.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I send obnoxious little cryptic messages
to
him.
You fucking do.
And I'm just like, this one's going to be real spicy.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be like tacos that burn people's mouths.
Uh-huh. That's a tragedy.
And,
This week, what he told me was, this week's episode is out of this world. So that's either, I don't know, I've been sitting with that for a couple of days. So it's like, I don't know, 60s, Saved by the Bell? I don't know what
is
we're talking
saved
about.
By the Bell?
I don't know, that's my point. I have no fucking idea what it's going to be.
Hey, Zach. You look out of this world.
It sounds like just like something Screech would say before he would present his science fair project.
Before he got arrested and for
way rape. Before that. Way before that, yeah. all right, so we are going to get there. I don't know what we're talking about today, but it sounds like it's going to be weird.
Watch, what is that? What is fucking Saved by the Bell? You're going to feel so...
I will feel vindicated. That's what I'll feel. But before we get there, we're going to talk about the bright spot.
Yay!
All right, my weekly contribution to the show, something that we can take some heart in this week.
Give me good news.
Going on
Give
right
it to
now.
Me.
All right.
Fill my soul.
And this week, are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you know the website Goop? Gwyneth Paltrow's life
style and health and wellness
I knew
website.
She had something. I did not know it was called Goop.
It's called Goop.
That's amazing.
Okay. And this week, my bright spot for the world is that Goop has agreed to pay $145,000 in civil penalties in a consumer protection lawsuit over the claims that eggs made of rose quartz and jade were supposed to increase sexual energy and tone the vagina muscles of the women who put them up their vaginas. Goop is well known for... So Goop was making a jade and rose quartz egg, and they were selling them for $65, and they were making very dubious claims about their health benefits.
So they told a bunch of women...
Yes.
...to stick a stone up their vagina.
To increase their health and wellness and tone their vagina muscles and to cure things. And it's false. It's scientifically false, and the California Consumer Protection Agency has sued them and has gotten this lawsuit settled with them.
How many women got the stone stuck in their vagina?
I have no idea.
Because, there's not going to be a string attached. It's not like an anal bead.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just retrievable.
If you just shove an egg up there, it's gone. There's no,
not gone. That's where eggs, come out of, I suppose.
Not like a chicken egg.
All right. We're probably not the best people to talk about, the actual anatomy of that, having never visited.
I'm just saying that I have heard about Tamphazel from Insatiable.
I haven't.
You need to watch that show. It's
What's
amazing.
That?
No, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Watch the show.
Fine. Okay.
But I approve of the Tamphazel.
Okay, but all I'm saying is that Goop is well known for making incredibly dubious claims, okay? And I'm certainly glad. The bright spot for me is that somebody has called them out on their shit. They are not doctors.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow is not a doctor, all right? And you do not need a $65 jade egg to shove up your vagina to cure anything, all right? If at best, it's a tchotchke, okay? It goes on a cabinet or something, okay? And if you want to put it up your vagina, fine. That's fine. That's your thing to do.
Plenty of people stick things up them all the time.
Put anything up you that you want. But don't do it at the insistence of a celebrity who's telling you it's going to cure you of anything, okay? She's not a doctor. And she and Dr. Oz make me fucking crazy. And this is not Schadenfreude because she's got the money. It's not a problem. $145,000 is not a problem for her or for Goop, okay?
Hey, buddy, you got syphilis?
Yeah.
Shove this egg up your butt.
Will it cure me?
It's gonna cure you and then some.
Thanks, Chris Evans! So, yeah, no, I mean, it's just false, and it's consumer fraud, and they're getting called out on it, and I'm so happy about it.
I just love how your character was so, gung-ho about, of course I've got syphilis.
That's right, I went out and got it on purpose.
And how?
Do I have syphilis? I've got the best syphilis.
I've got all the syphilis.
I've got all the syphilises. I've got all the herpes.
All the syphili.
All the syphili, it's true. Yes. I have a Prius and I have the syphilis. I'm a liberal. Okay. Anyway, I just, this kind of stuff makes me crazy because you're not a doctor. If you're not a doctor, don't be selling health stuff.
Right. I endorse this.
I just got off my soapbox. That's a bright spot for me because, these things, people are fraudulently taking advantage of people, and I hate to see it.
So, it's obviously there's a conspiracy there, right?
How so?
Well, it's conspiracy-esque where it's they're letting people believe things that aren't true.
Yeah, true,
right?
Yeah.
And our episode is going to be about conspiracies.
Oh, I'm excited
How
to
fun
hear
is
it.
That?
That's great.
No collusion.
No collusion. No, exactly. No collusion. But conspiracy, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready to jump in?
Let's jump in. Absolutely. Let's talk about what we're talking about. What do we got?
Spock.
Oh!
E.T.
Yeah. Oh.
Jawas.
Okay.
The Na'vi.
Sure.
Little gray men!
Okay.
All right. Humans have long had a fascination with aliens.
Sure.
Right? But there is one moment in the history that really jumped into first place when people think about the word alien.
Okay.
Can you guess it?
Independence Day. That's two words! Fuck!
That's Right, it's Roswell, New Mexico.
Yay! I thought it was Roswell, New Mexico. Okay. In my mind, I thought it was. I just watched. I have to disclosure. Full disclosure. When I was visiting my parents last week, I watched Independence Day.
Oh, I love that.
So it's a little on my mind. And actually, in that movie, they have the original one, the old one, right, with Bill Pullman being awesome. They have a ship that was recovered in the crash at Roswell. That's what...
Oh, that's right.
Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith take up to the mothership to implant the virus.
That's right.
Yes, so...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I know all about this.
Well, you're an expert, then.
I am. Before we get into the thing, can I talk about my one experience in Roswell, New Mexico?
You've been to Roswell?
I have been to Roswell one time.
Okay.
And my friend Sarah and I took a road trip after college. We went all around the western United States and the Grand Canyon and all the coast and everything as our, like, graduation trip.
Yeah.
You know? And we ended in, well, we didn't end in Roswell, but we ran out of money in Roswell.
What? How do you run out of money on a trip?
Because it was like the, you know, early 2000s, and I didn't have any more money in my checking account, you know, and we just ran out of money in Roswell, New Mexico. And so we were tooling around Roswell, and this is really a story about how my stepfather's a hero. He went to, like, I got in touch with him, and he went to my bank in Texas, because I was living in Texas at the time, so we got as far back as Roswell, but didn't quite get back to Texas. And he basically bullied the bank teller into putting money into my checking account. Because you're not supposed to do that if you're not the owner of the account.
You can't. I thought you could make a deposit for anybody.
I don't think you can. At least that's what they were trying to do. But he was just like, yes, you're going to do this. And they were like, okay. Anyway, so that's my one experience, really, with Roswell.
I love that.
Yeah, they're all about the aliens over there.
Exactly. And it actually started in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's when the crash happened, right?
Supposedly.
Or, you know, like when I like to say, when you and I came to Earth. I mean, nope. We're human. Beep, boop, boop, boop.
I'm cutting that.
So,
as I'm... out our secrets.
As I'm sure you know, there's a ton of people who believe that aliens actually came to Earth, right?
Of course.
And that something went wrong with their spaceship and they crash landed in New Mexico.
Right.
Right? What really happened, according to the U.S. government?
I don't know.
It was a...
But I can tell you that I 100% trust the U.S. government to tell me the truth.
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
So, according to the U.S. government, a test balloon crash-landed in New Mexico.
Really?
The test balloon was a part of Project Mogul.
Okay.
Project Mogul was a top-secret program where they attached their instruments...
Oh.
...to the atmospheric research balloons from NYU.
Like a tuba and an oboe.
Yes, mm-hmm. Easily, yes.
NYU?
From NYU.
What are they doing in Roswell?
Well, NYU was doing atmospheric research.
Excuse me, I went to NYU, and I've never heard about this. Well, I never heard about the New York University connection to this.
Dun, dun.
Or
dun,
did
dun,
I?
Yes. I mean...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, okay. So, basically, the government's placing microphones on the balloon to see if they could hear atomic tests being done in Russia.
Oh, my God. That's what their plan was?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it had a bit of success.
From New Mexico?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were a big microphone.
I guess so.
Like, microphone the size of your face.
That's very big. My face is also the size of a house. That's why I do podcasts. Nobody can frame me.
Oh, that's so sad. The initial program had some success, but would eventually be replaced with a more accurate and less costly program, because this program...
Just asking Sarah Palin to keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Got it.
She's like, I got ya. Oh, look at them, y'all. I can't do her voice. She's too hideous.
It was perfect.
For a voice for me to do.
It was perfect.
So, the balloon probes were basically about twice the height of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, shit.
So, they're big.
Sure.
This is a big-ass balloon.
Right.
This is like, happy birthday, I want you to fly away and die balloon.
Like, this is like we talking about fucking killer balloons again? What is it with you and balloons?
I like latex.
I guess so.
Okay, so this balloon landed about 30 miles north of the town of Roswell, New Mexico, into the Foster Farm. This is not to be confused with Foster Farm's chicken products that we find in L.A.
Right.
Like, this is a different farm.
Oh, it's important to know, because, although the Foster Farm, like, chicken wings do look like they came from aliens.
Ooh. We figured it out, folks.
They're alien fingers.
Yeah.
Chickens, by the way, don't have fingers. Aliens do.
It's all a conspiracy, folks. All right, so how did this balloon crash land, right?
It got hit by a UFO.
Yeah. No, there was a super large thunderstorm.
Okay, so we're still talking about the official story, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Official story in the area, and they think it tore the balloon apart, which mm-hmm. caused the, quote,
crash.
Ship to crash land.
Oh.
Right?
The ship being the microphone?
The balloon pod thing. So the balloon had this, like, thing at the bottom that was carrying. It's like a hot air balloon,
right.
But, like, weird looking.
Okay.
It was really, like... This balloon was weird.
Okay.
It was very metallic.
Okay.
So anyway, on June 14th, mm-hmm. WW Mac Brazil,
okay,
not to be confused with www.mac.com, was on the ranch.
Well, I wasn't confused.
You might be confused.
All right.
It's a lot of conspiracy here.
Mac was the nickname of the person.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying. Okay.
He's on the ranch that he worked on, Foster Farms or whatever, mm-hmm. along with his son Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Vernon.
Vernon, sure.
It was all normal until they came across something that neither of them could ever imagine existing.
An Apple computer.
Yes. It flew out of the sky and hit him in the face. So Brazil is quoted saying, quote, "A large area of bright wreckage made up of rubber strips, tinfoil, and rather tough paper and sticks." So, Brazil was very confused by what he had found, right?
I'm confused as well.
And he would...
But it sounds like stuff you all... That's all made on Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Basically a ton of stuff that would be made on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah. And he would then wait until the 4th of July to return to get the items from the family.
Our Independence Day!
Yes. I just also love the fact that he waited that long. I feel like maybe he was getting drunk on the 4th of July and someone was like, "I don't believe you saw things." He's like, "You know what? I'm going to show you. We're
absolutely.
All getting in the car."
He's a farmer, right? He's a rancher. The 4th of yeah. July was his first day off in like a year.
Yeah. Well, so, maybe that's what it was.
That's what it was. He had,
so,
he, yeah.
On later, time. Later on July 7th, mm-hmm. he brought said items to the sheriff of Roswell, George Wilcox.
So he goes to the crash site, he collects everything he can find, and he takes it into the sheriff.
He takes the majority of it, yeah.
Okay.
Wilcox knew what it was immediately.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
What?
He was like, "What the fuck is that?
You lie to me so much."
It's because I like watching you go, "What?" So, Wilcox did the most logical thing that a small town sheriff could do.
He arrested it.
Yeah. I went to a dark place. No, he called the other police.
Other police?
Well, the Army.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Sure.
And the Air Force was located just outside of Roswell, so he called them, and he's like, "I don't know what's going on."
Okay.
And the person...
Oh, but yeah, the Air Force I could see calling the Air Force, because something crashed, maybe from the air.
Yeah, perhaps.
I don't know what this is, so let's call the Air Force. Okay.
And so the man he talked to was Colonel Butch Blanchard,
mm-hmm.
who was the commander of the base, to see if he knew anything about this.
Colonel Butch Blanchard.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit of a...
You're standing at attention?
Yes, I'm... I like the name. That's all.
So Colonel Butch, he totally knew what this was.
Oh.
No, he didn't.
God damn you!
So Butch called the other police.
The Space Force!
Yeah, which was another branch of the Army.
Oh.
General Roger W. Ramey.
Okay.
To ask if he knew what this was and to let him know that something was going down.
Okay.
Like Kesha in Timber.
Like me on Colonel Butch.
The safe word is more. So Butch also during this time would send a subordinate of his, Major Jesse Marcel, not to be mistaken for Marcel Marceau, who, with his mind makeup, looks like an alien.
Okay.
To Roswell.
Sure.
To investigate this incident more thoroughly.
Okay.
So when Marcel got there, he grabbed everything that Brazil had given the sheriff uh-huh. and then went back to the crash site to gather any of the rest of the stuff.
Okay.
Right? Now, it's important to note at this time, a plain-clothed man was with Marcel. That's all we know about him.
It's important to know that he's very plain.
Yes.
And he has clothes.
And
he's a man,
and
we
he
think.
Said, like, nothing.
Right. So who's the real mime?
Right.
Okay.
It's Marcel.
Sure. Yeah, neither of these guys. Sure.
That's who came with him. All right, so we don't know who
he was. They only had so many names to go around. They couldn't waste them.
Yeah.
We had to double up. My last name is your first name, and we're just going to continue on the line.
Yeah. So, all right, after all that hunting and gathering, Marcel did the completely smart thing. He held a press conference.
Oh, I can respect that.
And during this press conference, he may or may not have, and by may or may not have, he definitely told the press that they caught a flying saucer.
He told them they... What?
Yeah. So
Marcel went to and did a press conference and said, we found a flying saucer?
Yes.
That's still, now that's the official position of the U.S. government.
Right.
Okay.
So on July 8th, the article reporting on his comments would be titled, quote, RAAF, which is the Roswell Army Airfield.
Okay.
Captures flying saucer on ranch in Roswell.
Okay. Well, I could see how people got confused then.
Right. Okay. So as I mentioned at the time, the Air Force was trying to keep Project Mogul under wraps, right?
Yeah.
So basically, he told the story, which then they would write, quote, the intelligence officer of the 509th Bombardment Group at Roswell Army Airfield announced at noon today that the field has come into the possession of a flying saucer.
You're saying that the project was so secret that they made up aliens to distract from it?
Basically.
Okay.
Roger...
Good job, U.S. government.
Roger...
There was... Okay, to be fair, there was no way you could see how crazy we would get with that.
I feel like there was. We had a... There's another story we're going to do another week, which happened about 10 years earlier with aliens, which will be a lot of fun.
All right, so there was some knowledge of
definitely knowledge of
far this. Off the bend we would go. Okay.
But Roger Launius, a former curator of space history at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum, is quoted saying, quote, apparently it was better from the Air Force's perspective that there was a crashed alien spacecraft out there than to tell the truth.
Jeez.
A flying saucer was easier to admit than Project Mogul. And with that, we were off to the races.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... The fun thing is...
See, when first you practice to deceive, then we get Bill Pullman as president, and nobody wants that.
I would rather that.
I would absolutely love Bill Pullman to be president. I was just doing it for the bit, and now I feel really bad about it because I don't even want there to be out there in the world the idea that I would not vote for Bill Pullman in a second. I love Bill Pullman. I wish he was my father and our president.
Noted.
Bill, I take it back.
Over the next 6 months, because of the Cold War hysteria and the Roswell UFO incident, over 300 UFO/flying saucer sightings would be reported.
Okay.
This is over 6 months, mind you.
Okay.
So that's like multiple a day.
Yeah.
Like there's, you know...
300 in 6 months, okay.
In fact, the reason that Brazil even told the police about the flying saucer that he had found was because of an earlier incident in Washington State where Harold Dahl, not to be confused with Roald Dahl, who was in the Navy...
I think you think very little of people and what they might confuse.
I just say a lot of these names were very familiar for me, and I was like, wait a minute, what? So anyway, Harold Dahl was in the Navy, reported seeing six UFOs above the Puget Sound. Brazil felt like maybe his balloon was a UFO and was important.
Oh.
So... Dahl would later reveal that he was talked to by, quote, Men in Black.
Oh.
Talk about a prequel. I wonder who they cast as Will Smith.
Yeah. I don't know, because of segregation.
Oh.
What?
It's true.
I know.
That time was, oh.
That's not a good time.
So, enter Roswell, right? Which then inspired...
With consent.
Yes. Which basically inspired all these other people to freak out, right?
Uh-huh.
And they would all freak out despite the fact that the following day... After this press conference and the whole, like, we found a flying saucer, the newspapers would suddenly put out a report about the, quote, UFO saying that the Air Force looked at the materials and it was actually a weather balloon.
Yeah.
The Air Force was like, our bad, it's not a UFO. And I could just see Colonel Butch being like, Marcel, when I said don't tell him about Project Mogul, I didn't mean make up a flying saucer.
Create aliens.
Yeah.
And, yeah, oh my God.
And Marcel's like... He was miming. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
All right.
Well, you know, it's crazy they didn't stop the press conference in the middle because it would have taken hours to mime that much. Like, to do a press conference in charades is really hard.
Yeah.
Believe me.
So, have you done it? So, the new headline... would be, quote, Army debunks Roswell flying disc as world simmers with excitement.
Too little, too late.
Yes. It
should have been the headline.
So, all right. Basically, when this crash first happened, right, the story, it's one crash and there's no bodies.
Okay.
Right? That's the original story.
Sure.
Now.
Oh, yeah, there's alien bodies mixed up in all this.
Yeah, I'm sure you're wondering about the bodies, right?
I am,
Everyone knows. Everyone knows bodies were found at Roswell.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We wouldn't, quote, learn about them until later when we come to the late 70s and the early 80s.
What?
Yep. This is when everything would shit the bed and the Roswell we've come to know and love would arrive.
You're kidding. So for like 30 years, it was just kind of fine? There was maybe just a UFO, maybe it was a weather balloon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cute thing happened in Roswell 30 years ago.
Okay. Exactly. So thanks to films including but not limited to Star Wars and E.T.,
sure,
aliens were in the public eye once again.
Okay.
This suddenly led people to think about Roswell again.
Oh.
They're like, aliens. Aliens.
I've heard of those.
Roswell.
Oh, yes.
It's all a conspiracy.
It was, yes. The yeah. sticks and rubber and string fell down oh in my. Roswell. Must be a fucking alien. Okay.
In fact, a super team of men.
Oh.
Stanton T. Friedman. Oh. William Moore.
Oh, you killed it with the name. Sorry.
Carl T. Pflock. Kevin D. Randall. And Donald R. Schmidt, all UFO researchers, would question a few hundred folks who claim to have a direct connection to the Roswell event of 1947.
All right.
During this time, with all these interviews and comments and leaked documents, etc., the men suddenly learned that not only was there a government cover-up in Roswell, but that there had been a full spaceship and bodies.
Okay.
In 1980, the book, The Roswell Incident, would come out, written by Berlitz and Moore, who had already written about the Philadelphia experiment, where a destroyer cloaked itself in the water in, like, Philadelphia Harbor or whatever.
Okay.
And the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
Which is weird, but we don't know what it is. It's probably electromagnetic stuff.
Okay.
The book about Roswell, however, would become version one of the Roswell incident myth.
Oh, no.
There's going to be multiple.
Oh, no.
Basically, it says that aliens were flying overhead because they wanted to see how we use nukes.
Well, hold on. The aliens want to see the Grand Canyon just like everyone else, yeah. Okay? They were headed there.
Come on, Thiebel Zork. We've got to get to the Grand Canyon. I don't know what language you have, Thiebel
Zork. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't wait.
We can't have subtitles.
We can't afford subtitles.
On a podcast.
No, it'd just be a third voice in there. It'd be really weird.
Dubbing over us.
Yeah.
So they basically wanted to see how, the guys are like, they want to see how we use our nukes, and then a lightning storm fried their ship, killed the aliens, and they crashed.
Okay. Can you not debunk that, like, immediately? They came from fucking outer space, but they can't deal with lightning? you flew through a meteor shower and solar flares to get here, but it was lightning that took you down. Airplanes are fine with it, but your spaceship couldn't handle it.
Feeble Zork, there's lightning.
Oh, no! Not lightning! Fuck.
So, then after that, now we know a government cover-up followed.
I'm literally pulling my hair out with these people. Okay.
This is a good one.
Okay.
All right, so in their book, they had 90 witnesses to all of this and how the, quote, balloon material.
90?
90 people.
Okay.
The balloon material was not normal and super strong.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the thing.
Like it was made by the military or something.
Yeah, if you need to have a balloon stay up for long periods of time to listen for atomic blasts, mm-hmm. you're gonna need strong material.
Just ask Cleveland.
Oh, poor Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
All right, in addition to that, one witness, Barney Barnett, mm-hmm. claimed to have seen the bodies of the aliens
mm-hmm.
while he and his fellow archaeology students were out in the New Mexico desert studying something.
And didn't, like, mention it to anybody at the time?
Nope.
Okay.
There were bodies.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Barney.
I saw them.
Okay, Barney.
I saw all them bodies.
You've had enough to drink now, Barney.
There were bodies.
Barney?
I'm the bodies.
Call someone. We have to call someone, all right? Because you need help and you need a ride home.
Bodies. All right. So suddenly
we think maybe Barney's a serial killer. We're not sure.
Suddenly people were on board with the story.
Oh, okay.
And in 1991, a new book would come out called UFO Crash at Roswell. This book would talk about Barnett's viewings in addition, same thing, and it would add a section about alien autopsies.
Oh, okay.
The next year, Crash at Corona would come out, and this book would add a second ship that crashed, and upped the amount of dead aliens from 4 to 8, but really with 2 survivors. So 6 dead, 2 alive.
Of aliens.
Aliens.
So there's now two living ship. Aliens
yeah.
that we have now.
And the aliens that lived two were ships. Taken into custody.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so, just, okay. No, I think it was 12 ships. It was 12 ships, and what took them down was gravity. That's what they couldn't foresee it. Gravity.
Yeah, what took them down was a light snow shower.
That's right. It was the how pretty it was in Monument Valley at night, and they were like, "Oh my god!" and forgot to man the controls, and they crashed.
Yeah. So okay, A Book of Large Note, however, would come out in 1997.
Like it was large print.
What? No, I meant important.
Okay. It was in large print and real simple words for the assholes who believed in it.
There are aliens.
Aliens don't like lightning. Aliens crash sometimes.
In Roswell, lightning crashed aliens.
Whereas, like, the C-Spot run, it was yeah. like the Sea Aliens Crash Primer.
Uh-huh. All right. So this book would come out in 1997, okay. and it was written by Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso.
Mm-hmm. Retired.
Retired, yes. And he claimed that it was true, the Roswell crash,
yeah.
and that when he worked on the base at Fort Riley, which I think was in Kansas or okay. something, that the aliens were brought here and that he saw the dead limbs.
Dead? Ew.
Well, they crashed. They weren't all intact.
Well, they didn't see... Oh, he just saw the limbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
His book would be debunked, however, later by Philip Klass, another Philip, one of the Phillips.
Right, who said, fuck you,
yeah.
and thereby debunked it.
This guy is basically a UFO investigative skeptic.
Okay.
He's someone who's fascinated by it, but he actively seeks to debunk it.
Sure.
Which is cool.
Well, I have a feeling like he's seeking for it to someday be true,
right.
and has proven it not to be true time and time again.
Right, well, it's like that this show Ghost Hunters, where they every time they're like, we are looking for reasons why this happens, we're not looking for specifically
right.
to just scare the audience and make them think ghosts are real. And every now and then they have an episode where they're like, we can't explain this,
okay.
I'm sure there's something logical, but we don't know what it is.
Got it.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
Alright, so... Basically, there were a lot of problems with the witnesses that they interviewed in all these books. Because a lot of people...
Yeah, I imagine.
...were telling stories that their older relatives had told them before they died, etc. And they were people who really weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like, no, there were aliens. Did you see them? Well, I wasn't there, but Billy Bob told me there were aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Bob was there. No, Billy Bob wasn't there, but his brother, Jimmy Bob, was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Bob told Billy Bob, who told me,
mm-hmm.
there were aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough for me!
Totally buy it.
Yeah. So, all right. There's another article that I found quite interesting about this via the Huffington Post, right?
Okay.
Former Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Richard French would tell HuffPost that there really were two crashes.
Okay.
Now, HuffPost points out that French's job used to be that he debunked these stories. He
okay.
used to be in the military specifically to debunk alien stories.
Okay.
But now he's doing a tell-all interview about how aliens are real.
Oh.
Quote from French, quote, there were actually two crashes at Roswell, which most people don't know. The first one was shot down by an experimental U.S. airplane that was flying out of White Sands, New Mexico, and it shot what was effectively an electronic pulse-type weapon that disabled and took away all the controls of the UFO. That's why it's crashed.
Okay.
Which is more plausible than a lightning bolt, right? So, like,
yes,
the idea that...
Yes, for it to take down an alien ship,
yeah, if
sure,
we're going to take
but...
down an alien ship using something that... electromagnetic as opposed to just a lightning bolt.
I mean, is it plausible to think that the U.S. government had an EMP pulse airplane in 1947?
Not really. Not really. Okay,
no,
so...
when we don't even have them now, and it's just in the Matrix that we're hearing about it.
Yeah, so, okay. My favorite response to French, by the way, is Army Colonel John Alexander, who says, quote, no chance, zero chance. In the 1980s, I was the guy developing all of the pulse power weapon systems. We couldn't have done it then. In the 60s, they had a laser system, but your range was extremely limited, and we didn't have the operational laser weapons in that time frame.
And he wasn't even talking about lasers. He was talking about an EMP, which we didn't even have 40 years later, so
right.
Fuck you, French.
Yeah.
Yes, hold your... Fuck you, and Gary, why are you just old asshole that's retired and you pretended there's aliens and there's no aliens and your whole job was to say that there were no aliens and then you go out and say that there are.
But there are aliens.
Shut up! I'm going to cut all that.
So, French still holds firm in his position, though.
Okay.
He insists that the man who told him about the firefight between the aliens and the U.S. is true.
Oh.
He then goes on to talk about how...
I'm sorry. This is another secondhand fucking story. Oh, yeah. Shut up.
He then goes on to talk about how the second ship was obviously there to gather up the dead from the first ship.
Oh, my Lord. Now he's assigning, like, motives to the second bunch of aliens?
Yeah.
God damn.
He then talked about how he saw photos of the pieces of the fallen object and how it had, quote, inscriptions on it that looked like it was in an Arabic language. It was like a part number on each one of them. There were photographs in a folder that I just thumbed through.
Yeah, so you don't have them.
Right. Mm-hmm. One, and the other thing is also like, were you drunk when you did this? Like, and also, Arabic language, maybe it's from here?
Why? Because we have an Arabic language?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. In fact, another...
Don't be all logical and shit.
So, another former government worker, ex-CIA agent Chase Brandon, mm-hmm. also talked to HuffPost about how he saw photos from something that clearly wasn't from Earth.
It was a photo of the moon. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
They actually think the moon was from Earth.
Fuck you for proving me wrong.
They think that an asteroid hit it.
No, I remember now.
All right. So back to French. He talks about how he used to work in a job called Project Blue Book.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Kelly's Blue Book about cars. Where he would find...
I love that's the idea that they were appraising used alien ships.
Yeah. This one's clearly worth about $2,000.
I'll give you $6 million for it.
Yeah. Where basically Project Blue Book would be where he'd find explanations for UFOs and debunk them. And this is his reason for why the government had this program.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "They never give you an explanation, but I'll tell you what my analysis of it is. If they accepted the fact that there are creatures coming to Earth from other universes or from wherever..."
I don't.
"It basically would destroy religions. And the fact that our military is helpless against them would destroy the reputation of the military."
Uh-huh.
You're talking about military, national defense, and religious reasons.
Okay.
So,
well... That's not untrue, but, like, in case of an alien invasion, as Bill Pullman said, we are one Earth, okay?
Right.
So, yeah, and also, if your entire military and religious institutions and all that stuff can't deal with the aliens, they weren't a ton of use in the first place.
Exactly.
When, you know, when the aliens come.
So, French basically is convinced there's a cover-up, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to debunk right now that religion would be exploded.
Yeah, right.
If this happens.
Absolutely not. Have you heard of Heaven's Gate?
So, all right. So, in 1999, Sheriff Jess Slaughter and his deputy, Charles Fogus, gave an interview about what they saw.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
They were working that night, and when they heard about the crash on the radio, which I don't know how they heard
what?
About it.
They did not hear the crash on the radio. The guy found it in his field. Debunked.
Yeah. So they went to see what was up.
Okay.
And when they arrived, they saw the U.S. military bring the dead aliens onto the trucks to take them away. He is quoted, quote, "The bodies must have been 5 feet tall. I saw the legs and feet on some of them. They looked like our feet. The skin was a brownish color, like they were in the sun too long. There were soldiers there, about 300 or 400 of them."
Jesus Christ.
All right. So, yeah. All right. They would not see much more than that because 20 minutes into their train wreck viewing party, they were asked to leave.
Yeah, right. So, no kidding.
But Fogus left there not upset that they were aliens, but inspired. And he is quoted saying, quote, "The Great Father didn't just make this planet. He made all of them.
Wow.
He put beings on these planets just like he put us on this one. They're smarter than we are. They can get from there to here, but we can't get from here to there."
Right. So religion alive and well in the face of alien presence. No problem. Sure.
So to me, it's like if there really was a cover-up, I think that, like, yeah, there's some people who would question their religion, but there's a lot of people who would be like, so what?
Mm-hmm.
He made everything.
Yeah. The presence of aliens does not debunk your already weird religious beliefs.
Right.
You know, it's just fold them in. Just fold them in. It's like a lovely batter.
Yeah.
Just fold it in.
It's like a croissant. All right. So all of the people who wanted to know about the cover-up got so loud, however, that the Air Force finally released two reports on Roswell and Project Mogul in the 1990s to shut them up.
It totally worked.
They actually had a lot of good explanations on everything, right? But what about the alien bodies that people saw?
They didn't, but yeah.
So, there's a pretty piece of evidence that seems to suggest aliens were here, right?
Right. because it's a Barnett... jade and rose quartz egg you can stick up your vagina.
Well, it's Barnett saw them with his study buddies. They were there.
Sure.
All right.
How are there, like, why on earth would there be, in the middle of fucking New Mexico on a ranch, why would there be archaeological dig going on at the same time that some sheriffs are wandering by on the, and then 300 soldiers are coming in from other places and give me a, and then lasers in the air and like, yeah. what's going on? Like, why, if that was the scene of the, of the crash in Roswell,
that would have been amazing.
There would be no question that it was going on. It would have been like the most exciting moment
of history, of
military history.
So, All right. So basically, the second Air Force report would finally talk about the aliens.
Okay.
They would say that the people had actually seen crash test dummies.
Okay.
All right. The Air Force had around. In the 1950s, although the site I was looking at mentioned that it started in the 1950s, which is after the 1947 crash, yeah. So there's a little discrepancy here,
yeah.
Began to drop test dummies from high-altitude research balloons to learn what would happen to humans if dropped from such a height. And this was happening over New Mexico.
A couple things. That's a fucked up... That's a fucked up program. All right.
We need to see what happens to a human when it falls from 2,000 feet.
I think it's gonna go badly, Jim. Like, why? Okay, what fucking psychopath serial killer was working in the Air Force that you need to drop people from thousands of feet to see what might happen? Jesus.
They basically wanted to see if humans could survive crazy scenarios.
Right, they can't. Yeah. I don't know that we needed a ton of research into that, but then, Jesus. But secondly, like, it seems like this is all conflated, you know? If that program exists, it didn't happen until later in the 50s.
Right.
But there weren't the 400 people seeing the bodies and limbs of bodies and a finger here and a fucking body over there. It just didn't happen.
Well, I just also love the fact that people are like, I saw their feet. They look like ours.
Uh-huh.
It's like, or... Yeah,
like, but brown, so they couldn't be humans.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, fuck, that's the thinking.
Yeah, no, I know.
Jesus Christ.
So, all right. So the report talks about how people during that time weren't really familiar with test dummies, and it could be very likely that they could mistake it for an alien.
Okay.
Like, they're like, maybe people could have mistaken this thing for an alien because it's bluish. They were bluish color combined with milky white. And the eyes were wide open, and they kind of looked dead. And so it's this kind of thing where it's like, if you hadn't seen a crash test dummy, you'd think, that's weird. What is it? It's kind of human, but it's not really human. What is it?
Okay.
But...
I mean, sure, I guess.
I mean, I saw them. I saw it in black and white because it's an old photo, but it's like, it looks like a person.
Okay.
Like a mannequin.
Yeah.
You know, like, people have been to a mall.
Yeah.
At this time.
If you haven't seen a crash test dummy, you still have seen
a mannequin.
A mannequin, right.
All
right,
so the crash test dummy is the most widely accepted response from people, but apparently the report also mentions times when very injured airmen were brought to bases around where the test dummies were brought to, and that people got confused.
Sure.
And thought, oh my god, there's an injured
alien. We accidentally dropped real people.
No, they were thinking, we're doing... They saw a blue body, and then they're like, we have to do surgery.
No, he's just got no oxygen in him anymore.
Right. Oh.
He froze to death before he hit the ground, is the thing.
He became a human-sicle.
Oh.
All right, wow. So... A retired colonel in the Air Force, Joe Kittinger,
mm-hmm.
talked about transporting the dummies and is quoted saying, quote, one time we dropped one and it fell way up in the mountains. These dummies weighed more than 250 pounds. So how do you carry one out of the mountains? We put it on a stretcher and carried it in the back of an ambulance to take away. Now, if somebody is back in the weeds watching this, they're going to say, wow, look at that alien they have there. We think that a lot of alien sightings were actually us doing our work with the test dummies.
All right. That program should not have ever existed.
Yeah.
Stop dropping anything humanoid out of a plane. Like,
or a balloon.
Or of any... Like, about at around 100 feet, you're going to do badly as a person, okay? Like, you drop a person from around the height of a tall building, and you're going to die. So why do we need to take them into the atmosphere and be dropping these people?
Maybe,
things.
Maybe they'll fly. All right, so in addition to the crash test dummies, apparently the object that would carry the dummies was shaped like a UFO.
Why?
And held up by a balloon.
Goddamn, people!
So often when the device would crash, the military was nearby to pick it up because they were monitoring it.
Uh-huh.
So the reason the Roswell one didn't get picked up until it was reported was because the batteries in the locating device failed.
Okay, sure.
So, the Air Force report in 1994...
I mean, this explanation sounds worse than the original explanation
to me. No, I know, that's what's so wrong here.
It's so bad.
So, the Air Force report ended up showing photos of a ton of space probe devices that we made that are basically shaped like UFOs.
Why are they doing this?
They're like, see, it's us. And everyone's like, that just looks like you're showing us an alien ship and saying it's ours. So... All right, so the report didn't solve the criticism from the people of this nation.
Cover-up is worse than the crime here.
And there would be protests outside the General Accounting Office in Roswell in 1995 demanding the government turn over documents about the actual aliens in the crash.
Okay.
I also like that it's the General Accounting Office.
No kidding.
Like, what do they have to do with it? They're like, wait, do you need your taxes done? I'm really confused what this protest is.
What are you protesting exactly? We're accountable.
Yeah. We're transparent. It's a glass building.
Yeah.
All right. So other people don't believe that it was aliens, but they also don't believe that it was a weather balloon either.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is another fun little theory.
Oh, fun.
There's a theory written by Annie Jacobson mm-hmm. when she was writing about Area 51.
Sure.
Where people from the base say that the infamous Nazi, Joseph Mengele, who was an officer and physician in Auschwitz, was hired by Stalin to basically make a fake UFO to freak out Americans.
Okay, everyone, sit down.
All right.
Are
you ready for the rest of it?
No, I'm done with this. No. I'm done.
He would do this by choosing four smaller people to be flown against their will over to America, completely dressed up to look like aliens, and then crashed into the USA.
Oh, okay.
Stalin apparently wanted to cause the same amount of panic as Orson Welles' War of the Worlds radio show had done back in 1938.
This is completely batshit now. Yep. Joseph Mengele we're bringing into this, and Stalin is part of this conspiracy? Jeez.
Stalin's plan, however, was foiled, apparently, when the USA did a great job of covering it up.
That's awesome.
So,
not really that great, though.
So Annie Jacobson would
then say...
Well,
they only covered it up for 50 years, unfortunately.
So Annie Jacobson would then say the Area 51 people would later reveal it was for children around 12 years old with super big eyes. And the idea that...
What?
Basically, yeah, the idea that Stalin and this Nazi put four children on a machine and flung them over here to kill
them. Four children with giant eyes. They dressed as aliens and flew them from Russia to the Western United States and then crashed them.
Yep.
Somehow.
Right.
When we can't get lasers together, but they can fly a fucking balloon with children on it.
Yeah.
In makeup.
Yep.
6,000 miles.
Right.
And then crash it in precisely the right spot.
Exactly.
Great. I have no problem with this.
All right. So Roswell to this day has alien costume contests and a UFO festival.
And a museum.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The town lives on UFO tourism and paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
The costumes that people come up with are pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Human ingenuity in this situation is really great.
Yeah, the people painting their complete body.
Yeah.
Paper mache heads for people to wear.
Very sexy.
Kind of original cosplay.
Love that.
And the museum is actually called the International UFO Museum and Research Center. It's in downtown Roswell, and it has exhibits about UFOs, and it also boasts a gift shop / bar that is called, quote, the Alien Caffeine Espresso Bar.
Okay, sure. Why not? Is it Alien Caffeine? Is it Alien Caffeine Espresso? I don't know.
So, there's really a lot more out there about Roswell. I mean, like, I touched the surface on it. This is a giant conspiracy, and if you talk to some of these people...
Don't.
I'm sure
just don't.
That they'll just spend... You could spend... I mean, there's books on this.
Well, sure.
And I...
Terrible, stupid
books. I scratched the surface. Well, and I like the idea of how cool it would be if aliens had come to visit.
I would,
and
too.
And that we're not alone. And, mm-hmm. and truth is, we're not alone. We know that there's other... It's an infinite universe, which means there's no way that there's not another planet with intelligent beings.
The whole thing about, like, Roswell, though, that just drives me crazy is I've seen some of those photos that people purport to say that they're aliens, you know, and they're grainy and they're black and white and everything in them looks like it comes from 1947. Like, it would be fucking obvious, like, an alien craft that has traversed the universe to get here... And it sort of looks like the back half of a pickup truck or whatever it looks like. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically, I feel like the people are like, look at this, though. Look at this. You could
just as easily say, yeah, I'm looking at it, and it looks like it's made of rubber, which was, you know, widely available.
I made that rubber.
Yeah. Fuck you.
So, any other thing is also is that if they really had crash land here, like landed here and everything, mm-hmm. they would have sent other ships to destroy us.
By now, I would expect, yeah.
They would have been like...
I mean, this is the whole premise of Independence Day.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, so what is the bright side?
Oh, we're there!
Yeah, we've come to the bright side.
Okay, we've landed, finally. Jesus Christ.
Like, keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle until we come to a complete stop.
I feel like one of the goddamn dummies, though. Like, I feel like this hit me hard.
Yeah.
I'm just so mad at people.
All right, so what I found was that the story brought us a ton of great alien movies and books.
But that's absolutely true.
Like, because it inspired creativity.
Absolutely. The bright side, I think one giant bright side is Independence Day.
Yeah.
Because I saw it again recently, like I said. It is a great movie. It's just a great movie. And it's super fun. And I think that if that's all that came of Roswell, it'd be fine with me. I just want Mary McConnell to be my mother.
Oh, don't
and
we
Bill
all?
Pullman to be my father. That's all I want.
The other good thing is it gave Roswell a reason to exist and make a good living.
That's true, actually.
Like I can't imagine this city would have survived in the long run.
No, but it is super famous for that one thing. And,
yeah.
And the tourism and the interest that it has brought has sustained Roswell, New Mexico.
For a long time.
A very long time, for 70 years.
And, I mean, it's going to keep going. There's mm-hmm. still festivals. And something else that's kind of cool is that it's gotten people interested in looking beyond our own backyard
Definitely.
And into the unknown. Like,
Definitely.
So, yeah, some people have taken it to the extreme and gotten a little crazy.
Right.
But there's a ton of people who are like, you know what? I don't think that this is a government conspiracy, but it would be really cool if there were aliens out there and if we mm-hmm. somehow could communicate with them. And
it does inspire, like, to look into space and to know that we haven't made that contact yet. But to just know in your bones somehow that we aren't alone.
Yeah.
You know, it is inspiring. Like, the reason alien conspiracies and alien stories last is because we want it to be true so badly.
Right.
You know, we don't want to be destroyed as by an alien race, necessarily. But we want to know that we're not alone.
Right.
And so these kinds of stories, they really do inspire people to look out and wonder about the universe. And that sense of wonder and that sense of being connected to a larger universe is really important for people, you know? And I think that like, these stories, they do contribute to that, you know? They contribute to that. I mean, or they're a product of it, too.
Right. No, you know? Totally.
But, yeah, it gives us, like, to wonder about aliens and to make stories about it and to, you know, think about it. It's an inspiring, hopeful thing that fills you with a sense of wonder, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I love that sense of wonder, you know? Also, the aliens in Toy Story are adorable.
Yeah.
So it gives us those, too.
Ooh.
I think there's some really palpable bright sides to this, especially if you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a lot of times we see that kind of thing. It's like you can get really off the rails
right.
with some stuff.
One, and have you ever seen the show Ancient Aliens?
No, not really, no.
So it's just basically the theory is that aliens came to us when we were prehistoric
right.
and helped get us up to speed.
Oh.
And like kind of...
Oh, like the Battlestar Galactica version of events. Okay.
Yeah, or
sure.
or 2001 Space Odyssey, that kind of thing where
okay.
you touch the monolith. And it's a real... Like, there are definitely times where it's like, oh, I see what you're saying, and yes, it would be plausible that an alien could have come here at some time, or it's also plausible that we were super advanced at one point and we've completely fucked it up and we went back to the Stone Age and then we've gotten back again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's plenty of possibility.
Okay.
But there's definitely moments when you watch the show where you're like, that's insane. You know that that's insane. Don't try and make that a thing.
Right.
It's like, they'll be like, I couldn't tell you who put this rock here, but I know who put this rock here. It was aliens.
You're right, sure.
It was aliens.
Yeah. You seem like you, yourself, Jason Gaffney, are fascinated by this, no?
I would love for there to be aliens
right.
to come take me away.
To take you away. I think that there are sinister aliens, and one of them's running the country. Has anyone given a lot of thought to that theory?
Yes.
Because I'd like to forward that right now.
I would love to live in a world that's like Star Trek, where we have a Federation and There's all these great, cool, different cultures that are coming together and being awesome.
Yeah, that's the science fiction that I respond to, is the really hopeful stuff.
Right.
Like Star Trek, you know, which at its core has this incredible hopefulness to it.
Right.
Of races working together. It's not, there's never, you know, yeah, there are wars that happen and this and that, but like the core idea of the Federation is...
We can do it together.
Exactly. That these many, many, you know, types, different... diverse types of people can come together and work together, you know? And that's the alien story that I respond to a lot. But, I mean, I also love Independence Day, where we're like, nah, we're Americans!
Did you ever see Cowboys versus Aliens?
No, I missed that one.
So, it was good. It was scarier than I thought it was going to be. But it was kind of like Cowboys and Aliens, yeah.
This is the role play you and Matt do now?
Yeah.
Yes. Who's the cowboy? Who's the alien?
Well, I like cowboys, so I make him dress as a cowboy.
Nice.
I'm an alien, and I invade him. Oh.
It's a lot of probing happening.
Yep. What's this?
Ooh. Okay, well, good God, I like this topic. It is weird. You're right. We went out of this world.
And it's not, like, a traditional tragedy, but when you think about the tragicness of it, it's more that, like, there are people out there who have destroyed their scientific careers and lives over this conspiracy.
It's also a tragedy for the aliens who died.
Yeah. Just kidding. Zeebelzork had a good life.
He did.
He's just didn't remembered by
lightning.
His wife and his husband. And there are 27 kids.
What? Alien relationships don't have to be binary bitches?
Yep.
Yeah, it's super crazy. So thank you. I like it. I've learned a lot. You know, I'm mostly, it's reinforced my depression about how people are. But, you know, it's fine.
Let's go get a bag of donuts and eat our feelings.
I like that idea. Well, thanks everybody for joining us this week, as every week. Go outside.
Yeah.
Look to the stars.
Find an alien.
Find an alien.
Name it Zeebelzork.
Yeah. Or whatever you want.
No, Zeebelzork.
Okay, name it Zeebelzork. Sorry. Have that sense of wonder, and then join us next week for whatever the hell's coming down the pike again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a crash test dummy hitting the ground. We hope you've liked this episode of The Bright Side with Kevin and Jason.
If you did, please throw us some stars and give us a review on iTunes. It really helps others find the show.
And if you didn't, just keep it to yourself or tell your diary.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, at BrightsideKandJ, and on Facebook, at The Bright Side with Kevin and Jason.
All our past episodes are also streaming on our website, www.TheBrightSideWithKevinAndJason.com.
Until next week, don't forget to
look on the bright side.